You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is really about confiscating weapons. I mean, this is what the left has wanted to do for a long time. This is what half the presidential candidates or more on the Democrat side ran on just a year ago in their primaries. And at the end of the day, the only way to make work what Biden and the others want to do and the legislation they propose is to have a national gun registry and ultimately to take away firearms from law-abiding citizens. That is where this is headed. That's what many of them have been open. Many Democrats have been open about wanting to do. His anti-gun activist, who he's trying to put at the ATF, that's what he wants to do. So this is where it's headed.
That is Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri. This is April 9, 2021. Take this as a fact. Take this as a fact. Indisputable. When the left starts talking about gun control, and they don't want to take away your guns, really. Lie. Same thing when they began to talk about election integrity or the dangers of COVID and taxes, racism. Lie, 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 lie. If they want some credibility, stop with the lies and be very direct what you're trying to do. We know what you're trying to do. When you have Joe Biden, the vice president, I'm sorry, I demoted him. Harris suddenly got excited. Oh, her ears perked up. I'm president now? No, not yet. Not yet. Close, but not yet. When President Biden yesterday, with Harris standing to his side again, said that I want better, more gun control laws and we're not trying to do anything to infringe on the Second Amendment. And then he says that the Second Amendment is not absolute. Right there, that should have been the alarm bell going off. It's not absolute. It's written in our U.S. Constitution. Have you ever looked at it, Biden, Harris, the rest of you? I told you they only use that C word, Constitution, when it benefits them. They like polite words. We're going to ignore what's at the border. It's not a crisis. Gun violence is a crisis. COVID's a crisis. Racism a crisis. Everything but not the border and not the other things. And certainly they're going to find the nice words they can. But it's very evident, as Senator Hawley said, they really have said openly what they want to do. They try to massage it a little bit, best they can. You can go right back to Beto O'Rourke. Remember when he was a candidate running for the presidency? And he was asked, are you going to take away our AR-15s? And he said, hell yes, I'm going to take away your AR-15s. And of course, the attitude of the left is, you don't need a gun like that. You read the Second Amendment, it doesn't say based on your need. It's a constitutional right, a right, not your need. Do I need a mid-engine, brand-new Corvette? No, but I'd like to have one, but I don't need it. But if you give me one, I'll certainly use it. And speaking of the vaccination, more concerns as to if they're effective or not. Maybe there are more reactions being reported. What's the issue here? Maybe nothing, maybe not. But remember the predictions of doom we were getting all the time? And a CDC representative just 10 weeks ago basically said this is going to be bad. And Dr. Fauci and Biden, all of them, talk about a dark time ahead. Where are we now? We're not in any dark time. In fact, CNN admits it's mind-boggling when you look at states that lifted restrictions and their COVID rates are down. Well, how did that happen? They quickly come up with an answer. Well, they're not testing enough. Biden's also lying about the cost of all the programs he wants and who's going to get hurt. Even the Fed chair, Yellen, is now sounding an alarm. Anyone listening? And then Hunter Biden on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night. He got treated so nice, basically, when you get down to it, for CBS 60 Minutes. They didn't go after some really hard stuff like the pictures that are on that laptop. And remember, he said, I don't know if it's mine or not. Your pictures are on that laptop. Oh, it could have been Russian. Could have been the Russians hacking. Well, he said something last night on Jimmy Kimmel and left. He left. It's an inappropriate time for him to laugh, but he thought it's funny. It's not so funny. It says a lot about Hunter Biden and his past. And also, in the next 2 hours, there is no racism in some part of the world, in some part of your life. We will manufacture racism. We will manufacture racism if we have to. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've got now at least six people on the terrorist watch list that have been caught. They won't tell us how many more. No doubt there's many more that have come across our border. And this isn't from Central and South America. This is from Middle Eastern countries, other nations where they have people on the terrorist watch list that know there is a porous southern border. And if you want to come and do harm to America, it's free reign. It's open season.
Open season if you want to come into our country and cause mayhem, havoc, terrorist acts. That's Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican, pointing out the obvious. You know, the problem when he says that, I hear some people say, oh, my God, you're giving the terrorist an idea. That's kind of like in my many years doing news as a news anchor. Anytime we reported on a bank robbery or something and how they apparently got in and out, then we're told, oh, you're encouraging people to go rob a bank. And you're encouraging them to how to do it. You're giving them information. If a guy is going to rob a bank, they're going to do it on their own anyway. And would you not think that terrorists, if they want to get in this country and carry out a jihad of some type, they're going to find a way. And as you heard Congressman Scalise say, they did not need to be using airlines to come in anymore. They don't have to go through official ports of entry. And we have caught folks coming across the southern border from the Middle East, Yemen, in one of the most recent cases. And both of those guys were on our FBI terrorist watch list and a no-fly list. They don't need to be told how to come across. They can see the pictures that are spread around the world that we have no border. The same thing happened in Europe when suddenly they started saying, let's take care of all the refugees. Remember German Chancellor Merkel opening up her border, saying, we will take everyone. We're going to be a welcoming country. And they got overrun to the point where they're saying even she admitted after about 14, 15 months, that might not have been a good idea, you think? And the issue with them and some of the other countries, these folks weren't coming in to assimilate and be part of their country. They were coming in to do exactly what the left is trying to do now with our nation, to transform it. And some of these coming in now, they don't plan to become Americanized. It's not a matter of normal legal immigrants. When they come here, they want to be part of our nation and share their culture, keep that part of them that makes them their origin, but then share their customs, their food, their language, things of this nature, which have made this country the true melting pot, and we've embraced so much of it because that's exactly what we are. We are a nation of immigrants, legal immigrants. But these coming across now, in some cases they would like to do exactly what I said, but there are many others, they have no interest in that. They have an interest in using the open border philosophy to come on into this country, bring drugs in, smuggle children in, peddle them off in basic child slave sex camps. Where's the left? Where is the left again out there crying out for these children? I want you to stop and think for just 1 second. We've got something like 2,000 plus children just in one area of Texas in a holding facility. We've already been told there's actual sexual abuse, according to Governor Abbott, and about a third of those inside that facility have probably been abused. Other reports say the girls coming up from Mexico, the females, probably a third of them have been sexually molested at some point. You think about those kids. It should change your mind on this basically open door policy. Come on in, because if you shut it down, some of that would stop. You would actually protect children. Well, of course, in the midst of all of this, we have not had the president nor the vice president go down, even though the vice president has been tasked with trying to find a way to stop all this and talking to the Northern Triangle of countries along with Mexico. And we're talking about pouring more money into those areas that we can buy something down there that would make the folks stay there. You really think so? We've done it before. We tried. Trump pulled the money out because it was not working. The money was being misappropriated. Let's rephrase that. Stolen. It didn't get to the people that needed it, so it didn't do any good. Well, the DHS Secretary of Homeland Security, I should say, Mayorkas did go down to the border again, and here's what he came back with. He basically came back and said what we have to have in a statement that he issued today. We need, in our new spending priority budget, quote, money for a modern border management, investing in, quote, effective and modern border management. How about going back to what we had to start with? You stay in Mexico if you want asylum until we adjudicate it. Otherwise, you don't come in. That would be a start. That doesn't cost money. You just reimpose what Trump did, and you finish up the wall. No, they want to spend more money on it, which isn't going to accomplish anything when you get down to it. And you heard Scalise talking about these terrorists coming across. I want to remind you again, direct from Mayorkas' office, Department of Homeland Security, they erased a report. They erased a report that showed the illegals on the FBI terrorist watch and no-fly list crossing our border. They went in and sanitized it. Why? Because they don't want you to know the truth. The Arizona Attorney General has been inviting members of the White House to come to the border, come to our southern border in Arizona. He said, come see what we've got going on. He's offered these invitations. He's made it clear that we'll be glad to take you around and show you what you need to see. This is Attorney General Mark Brnovich of Arizona. So he's issued these invites all the time. And he's saying basically what Scalise said, you're looking at a national security threat if you don't deal with it. Listen.
I think that they have incentivized people to come over here illegally by halting all deportations. If you were trying to intentionally create chaos and undermine our national security, you would do as many things like the Biden administration is doing. Right now, this is a crisis. It's a humanitarian disaster. But if we don't do something very, very soon, it is going to be a tragedy. There's going to be terrible tragedies that occur all over this country. And a tragedy is something that could have been prevented. And this clearly could have been prevented.
Clearly could have been prevented. It's a tragedy, as you're going to hear him say in a moment, on many levels. But when you look at the numbers that are coming across, and the Biden administration wants you to believe, well, this is routine. This is normal migration. I'm calling the BS card on that. Obviously, it's not normal. They are seeing numbers they have not seen in more than 20 years. But again, the lie from the left is, it's routine. No big deal here. So the Arizona Attorney General, again, and saying, come on down specifically to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, who's supposed to basically be dealing, at least according to Joe Biden, with some of this. I mean, he washed his hands of it. He has tried to wash his hands of it and turn it over to her. And I will guarantee you, she has got to be fuming. You gave me something that's already out of control, and I'm supposed to fix it. And she has yet to go to the border. Well, the Arizona Attorney General says, please come down. Come see what we've got going on. You know what kind of reactions he's getting?
Well, I guess if you were a philosopher, you would say that no response is a very loud response. I think it's important to go down and see for yourself what is happening. First, the fact that when they halted construction of the wall, the impact that is having on the ability of the drug smugglers to bring drugs in our country. If they go down and they talk to the agents and they talk to the county law enforcement officials and say that they've never seen numbers like this in the last 20 years.
That's as clear and direct as it can be. Never seen numbers like this they have in the last 20 years. And again, the Arizona Attorney General is saying the lack of communication from the White House, even response to the invitation, is just disappointing. Nothing even coming back. As he said, if you want to be a philosopher, no response is a bad response. And the Attorney General said it's important for Harris to see for herself what's going on at the border and how the unfinished border wall is helping drug smugglers. It wouldn't be that hard for her to go down and see it. Now, Mayorkas has been there. Now, he's head of the Department of Homeland Security. Stop and think about it for a second. We're told by the Biden administration this is not a crisis, not a big deal. But remember, they called out FEMA to help with the numerous children showing up. I mean, the numbers of children we're looking at last check. Well, let me see, in San Antonio, Texas, they've got something like almost 1,500 kids actually in a facility that built for about a third that is to where they have them now. So they called out FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, which tells you it's a federal emergency. And the only one from the Biden White House that has gone down of cabinet rank or higher is the Department of Homeland Security. And he comes back and said, well, we're going to need more money. We need a modern effort down here. You need to, same thing with gun laws. Deal with what you've got, and when that fails and that's not working, then we'll talk about the rest of it. But it's failing not because you don't have modern technology. It's because you are basically turning the Border Patrol agents into daycare operators and working to help these children and watch over them. And therefore, more drugs, more jihadists might be coming through. Well, I won't say might. You know they are. I just hope it doesn't blow up in some major city and we'll trace it right back to someone who came through the border. What's going to be the response of the Biden administration then? Trump's fault. This has got to be Trump's fault, right? Rabinovich says the Arizona Attorney General, Harris needs to, quote, look into the eyes of people being smuggled across the border, being exploited by the cartels. Again, the Arizona Attorney General is not mincing words. Just listen.
This is a humanitarian crisis on so many levels. It's not fair to the migrants that think they're being promised things. It's not fair to the people, the hardworking taxpayers of this country. They're going to have to subsidize and pay for health care and child care and other social services for these migrants. It's not fair to any of us.
No, it's not. It's not fair to any of us. And when I see Mayorkas come back, and the first thing he does after going down to the border yesterday is, they probably wrote this report before he went down. I'm pretty convinced he did. But they just released it today because he's back. from his tour of a couple of towns, I believe in Texas or on the border. And again, this proposal coming out from him immediately today, saying this is our priorities. We need to invest in effective and modern border management. Do you not think he probably wrote that before he went down? I do, because there's nothing new in there. It doesn't deal with any details of what he would have seen. Mayorkas said the president's fiscal year 2022 discretionary funding request will reinforce the basic missions of securing our homeland, including preventing terrorism, securing and managing our borders. They don't want to secure the borders. Give me a break. Repairing the broken immigration system, safeguarding critical infrastructure, and strengthening national preparedness. That is most of that dealing with national security. Do you think it makes any sense if you're going to push national security, just tell folks, come on in. We're not going to bother vetting you. We don't know who you are. We don't know where you came from. And if we catch you, it's about just by chance. It's just by chance. If we've caught two, how many more do you think have gotten through? And when it comes to money, again, the left just wants to throw money, money, money at it. I told you previously about I had a real big question about money being put forward to house illegals. $87 million to house illegals. We got homeless on our streets, vets on the streets. They're spending $87 million on this. I told you then that there's something wrong with that. Well, the Washington Examiner opened the can of worms. I'll share it with you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I told you the other day how the Biden administration, or actually ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, a Department of Homeland Security, under the authority of the Biden administration, signed an $87 million contract to acquire and oversee operating something like 1,200 hotel beds to house migrant families in Arizona and Texas. 1,200 hotel beds, $87 million. You want to do the math? Don't even bother. The numbers are staggering. You don't even want to look at it. That was a no-bid contract, a no-bid contract that ICE gave out to a San Antonio group called Family Endeavors. It has no previous history as being a contractor with ICE. But Family Endeavors does have a former senior official of the Biden transition team in its leadership. Surprise, surprise. That's a former ICE official, Andrew Lorenzo Strait. He's identified as a potential broker in the deal by Congressman Andrew Clyde of Georgia. This is all uncovered by the Washington Examiner. I want to give them credit for it. Or blame, like I said, it's a thin line between credit and blame. But I think we knew from the beginning this didn't look right. Now we're being told it was a no-bid contract. They suddenly said, we need somebody to come up with a plan to house migrant families in Arizona and Texas and acquire about 1,200 beds. And here came Family Endeavors rushing and said, we can do it. Cost $87 million. Done. Done. They, on Inauguration Day, Family Endeavors announced that the guy that worked with the Biden transition team would become its senior director for migrant services and federal affairs. He became, therefore, their organizational liaison to the federal government, and within 2 months, he gets that $87 million contract. Yes, yes, there needs to be an investigation. Do you think there will be? Do not hold your breath. In the meantime, we're talking about spending and so forth. Joe Biden is preparing a massive tax and spend plan. We all know that. It would expand federal government, we know that, but he says it won't harm economic growth. That's what he says. That's not true. Not true at all. In fact, Federal Chair Yellen says that to finance this U.S. spending, you're going to need higher taxes. Now, they're going to tell you it's all going to come out of corporates and the wealthy. No, don't look for that. And in fact, they're estimating that this 8-year initiative they called the American Jobs Plan, making investments supposedly in the nation's roads and bridges, so forth and so on. And keep in mind, that's maybe at the most 8% of the entire plan, the infrastructure. The rest of it is social engineering, manufacturing, and infrastructure. And then on top of that, a new report out points out the federal government already spends more than $332 billion on expired programs that Congress never reauthorized. They're called zombie programs. Autopilot money for programs like the Appalachian Regional Commission, the National Endowment for the Arts, National Endowment for Humanities, Institute of Museum and Library Services. The money just keeps flowing because nobody said, we don't need any more, nothing going on with it. Apparently, there are something like 1,000 federal programs that have expired, but they're getting money, autopilot, from Congress. Whose hand is in the till on that one? Well, speaking also about trying to understand what's fact and what's a lie, I thought we were supposed to be in the darkest times right now of COVID. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed. And at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the very worst of the pandemic is yet before us. These new variants are going to be a huge challenge. Don't forget that when we were in April and we had 32,000 cases and we thought the house was on fire, it couldn't get worse, we got down to 20,000. Suddenly in July we're at 70,000. Comes back down at Labor Day to 26,000. Then suddenly we get to 200,000. Comes back down to 150,000. And suddenly we get to 300,000. Every day we have a shifting baseline. What you're seeing right now, I think, is basically that dip that's going to occur before the huge surge. These variants are going to be a tremendous challenge for us over the course of the next 6 to 14 weeks. I'm not at all optimistic.
Wow. I'd say lock yourself in your home and do not go out again. Forget about wearing a mask. Get a scuba gear and just start breathing oxygen out of the scuba gear. That's Dr. Michael Osterholm, Director of CDC Infectious Research and Policy, University of Minnesota, with those dire predictions. Probably the next 12 to 16 weeks, he said, it's going to be really, really bad. And he used the word surge. Oh, didn't AOC preach to us that to use the word surge is a militant term? Of course, she's referencing what's happening at the border. If you say there's a surge at the border, then you're trying to say all these kids coming across are insurgents. There's a difference between the word surge and insurgent. You know that. I know that. I don't think anybody schooled her on it yet. But apparently, Dr. Osterholm didn't buy into that story about don't use the word surge. Oh, let me correct that. Those statements he made, they weren't yesterday, not even last week. His predictions of all that doom and how bad it's going to get was made on a CNN interview January 26, 10-plus weeks ago. 10-plus weeks ago. Andrew pointed this out to me, our boots on the ground in Chicago. He said, where's all the gloom and doom now? What's going on with all these predictions? Why aren't, and he's right about this, why aren't all of these guys with all these predictions called out? Well, Andrew, you want to expose the underbelly. You want to show that there's nothing there. They've just been giving us a story over and over again. And when we need facts, we need accurate information to make proper, correct decisions, they just want to scare you. Now, of course, we had Dr. Fauci insist, I'm not trying to scare anybody. We'll come back to that in a moment with him as he got into a debate with Senator Lindsey Graham. Because Dr. Fauci, if he's that concerned about our COVID spread, he's ignoring one of the biggest super spreaders underway right now as I speak. But here was the Dr. Michael Osterholm in that statement you heard. And in fact, he had also been on with the CNN and Anderson Cottonmouth. And again, talking about there'll be another potential explosion if these new cases are mutated, more contagious variants of the virus take hold nationwide. Well, we have had some reports of some variants. And then he adds, well, let me put it this way. In that interview with Anderson Cottonmouth, Cottonmouth asked him, I'm certainly not a sports expert, doctor, but I do know there are 9 innings in a baseball game. Pretty good, pretty good. Glad he knows that. He said, what inning is this pandemic in? Dr. Osterholm said, I still think we're in the bottom of the third, top of the fourth. You know, I worry about the next 6 to 14 weeks could be the darkest weeks of the pandemic. And again, I point out to you, that was, as reported by Huffington Post, in addition to being on CNN, on January 27, 10-plus weeks ago. 10-plus weeks ago, he was saying, I worry about the next 6 to 14 weeks. Well, Larry, there's still another 4 weeks to go. I mean, maybe the next 4 weeks are going to be calamity. And, of course, Dr. Osterholm also said the vaccines are out there. He said, if we vaccinate everybody, the government has said, the vaccine will be available for through April. That's only 12% of the U.S. population. And the variant could cause a lot of harm. It might well. And, of course, the numbers keep changing. He pointed that out. We have a problem also going on with COVID in the sense of some of the vaccines. A lot of folks have been reluctant, didn't really want to do it. They're worried that if their job requires them, are they going to have to do it? There's talk among some states that they might require it. State of Hawaii, if you're going to come into our state, they might demand you have a passport that shows you've had the vaccine. There are countries across the world that if you go into those countries, you have to have a certain list of shots and so forth before you go in. Anyone that's been in the military knows that. If you're being transferred in some areas, they're going to make sure you have shots that might be viable or necessary for that region of the world. And now if we're going to have passports to go to different countries or to come into this country that have to have a vaccine approval on it. Even now, if you're outside this country and you're coming in on an airliner from anywhere into the States, the airliners are demanding that you have at least documentation that you've had a negative COVID test in the recent 72 hours. And they might give you another one right at the airport. If it's positive, you don't get on the plane. If you come across the border from the south, not Canada, because Canada's not going to let you do that, but if you come across our southern border, opened up by the leftists, well, then you don't need to show no stinking vaccination or test. You don't need to have anything. You got COVID? Come on in. And, of course, the issue of the vaccine, as I said, is real for some people. There have been some reports of vaccine complications. In fact, I'm looking at one here that popped up earlier. It actually happened yesterday, and word was just breaking late yesterday. A vaccination site in North Carolina, Wake County, paused operations yesterday. They had about 18, I should say, they specify 18, adverse reactions to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That's the one shot. You don't have to go back for a second shot. So they put everything on pause. They said 14 of the 18 had minor reactions, and the other four went to the hospitals for further exam, and then they put everything on pause. Pfizer and the Moderna require two doses. All three are approved for emergency use in the U.S. I have a relative who yesterday got the Johnson & Johnson shot, and I'm told they just did not feel well after they got it and went home, did not go back to work. I haven't heard from them today, so I assume they're doing better. And you're going to have to make some of your own determinations, as I've said before. Regardless of what they tell you to do, you need to decide that. Which, of course, also brings us to the issue that I pointed out previously. I was not going to get a vaccine. I think I'm in relatively good health. I figured there are other people that might need it more than me. I'm type O, which supposedly gives you some additional protection. And I'm not claiming I'm bulletproof, but, you know, God has blessed me with some pretty good health, and I wasn't going to. But then a death in family, which is a very close member of the family, one of my daughters insisted, you had to promise, Dad. You had to promise you're going to get the vaccine. And I took the first one about 10, 12 days ago. I had the Moderna. I've got the second one coming later. I've had no reaction. Some have said you don't get the reaction until the second shot. Well, we'll see. We'll wait and see. But it does no good just to get one. You've got to go ahead and complete it. Now, by the way, they've also said in some cases, and I'm not sure because, we're not getting real information many times, that some of the double shots, the second shot, rather than 3 weeks from the first, they're moving it to 4 weeks. I don't know if that's a shortage or they decided the extra week would be good as well. I don't know. I wish I could give you direct answers to some of this because I can find answers everywhere, but they're all over the board. Which brings us to Dr. Fauci. All concerned about these baseball games. St. Louis Cardinals had their opening day yesterday. Other teams have had their opening day. Texas Rangers. And Dr. Fauci said, look at all these baseball games. People going, we're going to have another massive COVID outbreak. He said it could be a super spreader, just like the kids on the beach in Daytona of spring break could be a super spreader. The biggest super spreader we have underway right now is on the border. And Senator Lindsey Graham challenged Dr. Fauci on that very point.
I have nothing to do with the border. I mean, obviously, it is a very difficult situation at the border. We all know that. The administration is trying as best as they can to alleviate that situation. I mean, having me down at the border, that's really not what I do.
My point is, if you're in charge of advising the President of the United States about how to stop the spread of COVID and contain this virus, you have to go to the border because we had 170,000 people enter our country legally in March that we caught, about a 10% positive rate, and what I saw was just a nightmare.
But Dr. Fauci doesn't think he should be concerned about what's at the border. That's not what I do. What you do is supposedly advise the president on how to contain COVID, keep it from spreading. That is a super spreader event, and you say it, not my job, man? Is that what you're saying? Top Republicans on two House committees also pressing Biden's coronavirus rescue plan czar said we want to review this $2 billion fund you're giving to New York to give relief money to illegal immigrants in the state. And, of course, then we also have the concern that COVID might not be really the real issue we have in this country. The bigger issue might be not COVID, but racism. And they will point out where racism exists that you thought, how's that racism? Oh, it's racism. It's racism. Get ready to learn something. Stand by.
Just a product of the rains, and I say, hey, y'all, and yeehaw, and I keep my Christmas.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I had a story a moment ago that I was telling you about how in North Carolina they had paused use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because of some adverse reactions, 18 at least. And I thought I'd seen it, but I couldn't find it fast enough. I'll give you an idea. Those of you watching on YouTube that are using our YouTube select item, I got stacks and stacks of paper. I mean, I got stacks and stacks of papers. I got volumes and volumes and binders of paper. But in the midst, I knew I'd seen it, and I finally found it because despite what I told you, and it was correct about them pausing the Johnson & Johnson North Carolina yesterday, now the CDC says we did analyze a vaccine lot at that facility, and we found no safety issues, so the vaccine site is once again operational. They're not really telling us what kinds of reactions, but they're saying they were, quote, consistent with known common side effects. If you're getting one of the vaccines, ask. Don't be suddenly surprised by what you're having, because your response might be dramatically different from what they're predicting you might have. But then if we're talking about threats to our nation, a public health threat, COVID might not be that big. I'm sorry. According to some, it just might not be that big of a deal. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, in an entry published on the agency's website, states this. The entry is titled, Racism. Racism is a serious threat to the public health. So racism is now deemed a serious public health, and says the data suggests racial and ethnic minority groups experience higher rates of health conditions, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, when compared to their white counterparts. See, I will accept that if you're talking about it's an economic issue or even a desire to go to the doctor, there's an issue there, but why do you want to put the racism level in? Well, Larry, these are minority groups that are having this more than the whites. Well, again, is it race-based or is it just, are you telling me that they've been denied health at all? Well, Larry, in some cases, about not have facilities as close as others. There are a lot of people in rural countries, counties, I should say, in this state, this nation, and even in this state that are not that close to a doctor or medical office either. They probably don't have as often stats. But you also have the Lancet Medical Journal from the UK saying the same thing, that racism is a public health crisis. If folks, and I've said all along, if we have disparity in taking care of folks who need health needs, yes, we need to address it. I'm not basing it on color. I'm not even basing it on your economic status. I'm basing it on the fact that you should be having good routine checkups and so forth. But if, when I see them all concerned about this now, we told you previously numerous times that one of the best checks for kids, especially minority children, is for teachers in the school to be noticing something. The kid doesn't seem to have enough food, always fatigued and so forth. So they kind of intervene and find out, does the child need some health care or is there something else going on? But we have not had kids in school because of the COVID lockdown, and a lot of those kids are probably falling through the cracks, and I do worry about their health going forward as well. But then if you're just looking for racism, it's not that hard to find. In fact, there's a piece from CNN, a lifestyle report that talks about the fonts you would use. Let's put it this way. The letters you would use to put out a message or a billboard or a sign at your restaurant or whatever, that some of that could be racist. Yes, some of the stuff you put out could be racist. They're looking at the designs of some of these fonts as you describe on your computer and ask what font you want to print it in. That some of them, they might be called the wonton, the Peking, Babuda, Ginkgo, Shanghai, China. Those are all they say. Well, some of them labeled rice bowl or whatever. That all of those might be considered racist because you choose those. A person that's drawing all this together, a professor, says this is what democracy looked like, a visual history of the printed ballot, and she's referring to an 1876 ballot with that talked about deporting all Chinese immigrants. Well, obviously, the intent of that was to be racist. But even the former U.S. ambassador of the Netherlands, criticized for his campaign because he had an ad featuring a caricature of a Chinese woman and a website with chop suey lettering, so the fonts themselves suggested racism. How deep do we have to look to find racism all the time? When do we start saying, what do we have that unites us? We have a lot of things that unite us, but if you're going to constantly pick at a sore or scab, you learn that as a child. You continue to, it will never heal. It will never heal. And we got too many that just want to go after points like that and just cause more division instead of finding a way to actually move forward. But they're going to persist unless you begin to call them out on it. Coming up in the, Andrew had asked, what about CNN's lettering? Is that racist, CNN? Yeah, it could be, depending on their font, right? Coming up, the fight to take your guns away. The left says it's not that about that. It is about that. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.